Hi everyone, you're listening to Pixel Pixel, where the X is silent, but our love for digital sovereignty most definitely isn't. This is episode 121. I'm one of your hosts, Anne, and with me, as always, is the digital sovereign king himself,
okay,
Marcus. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
We learned about digital sovereignty today. Oh, you knew about it.
Yeah.
You knew that it was a term. I was trying to think of, you know, we sit down, we get the show notes ready to go, and I'm like, okay, what will I say today? Mm-hmm. And we've been really, well, you've been on this server kick lately. I feel like it becomes more and more relevant, you know, because, like, we all know, well, I hope most of us know that Spotify sucks and, you know, moving away from, like, digital streaming and, like, bringing back the old music library, but instead of being tied to your computer, you can have it on a server, so then we can listen to our devices. So we've got that, and then you've got your book reading, and then now, because of other news, you're also looking at another type of thing that we can have on the server. So
yeah.
Sovereign King. what's up now?
Well, this is related to the fact that Discord recently made an announcement, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I guess it was this week, just a couple days ago, they announced. We're talking about it now because it's more life news for us because it relates to your server. Mm-hmm. But in the news world, the announcement was that they're going to start requiring age verification for servers that are marked 18 plus?
I think if you want to access 18 plus marked content,
okay,
then yes, you will have to.
So as a user, if you want to access anything that is labeled 18 plus, then you need to verify your age, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And also, interestingly, the Discord will treat all users as if they are under 18 until they're, you know, verified. And by verifying, you have to, like, give it your face data or give it your ID,
mm-hmm.
all these things. And this is coming just after they literally just had a breach, right? A data breach pretty
recently.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't Discord itself that had the data breach. It was the company that they were working with. But regardless,
right,
it was related to Discord's information.
Right.
Or Discord user details.
And it was basically the details used to authenticate ages,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Or person, but yeah.
Yeah. So, not great. And we don't love when companies, you know, require all this invasive information. It kind of is understandable. Like, we didn't really talk about it on the show, but Australia last year, you know, kicked in their, I don't know, they're calling it like an internet ban for minors, which is wild. And so I think you do have to do the age verification in Australia, mm-hmm. to access Discord now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I guess the Chick Pixel Pals Discord would be impacted in that we have an 18 plus channel.
Is the BL channel 18
yeah,
plus?
Yeah, it's okay. Marked 18 plus. So I guess what, none of us would be able to access it unless we gave it our personal info to verify that we're 18 plus. And I don't know what happens if you just don't mark it as 18 plus. Like, we're all
nothing.
Adults, no one would know, right? You know, it's not, we're not like a big Discord that's open to the public, so I don't think there would be any way to get in trouble. So that's one way around it, I guess. But other servers, like we were just talking before the show, you're in Discord's like Jast, you know, the publisher, mm-hmm. and they publish 18 plus games, and you're in there to get their news. Like, their whole server has got to be 18 plus, I'm sure.
Yeah, I am assuming so. I don't know 100%, but I'm guessing that's just what they have all done. Manga
yeah.
Gamer,
yeah,
Jast,
manga,
Jast
yeah.
Blue,
yeah, all those.
Sakai Project, etc.
Yeah. So you're researching alternatives in the chance that we want to move off of Discord.
Yeah. And it seems like there isn't a really good, really obvious alternative right now. Aside from something like Slack, because you can yeah. hop in that very easily and use it for free. However, for anyone who hasn't used Slack before, if you are not paying for a subscription, then you have like the server, you only get like so many messages, and then like the old messages will like disappear or be inaccessible to you after a point. And maybe that doesn't matter in most instances because a lot of times you're not really looking back at old chat, but there are various things in the way that make it less appealing, I feel. Also, to me, Slack always feels like a lot more like work, quote, work, even though I've never used it for work. You have. So I feel like for a lot of people, they probably don't want to like mix their concept of work, using Slack at work, with using Slack for fun as well. I don't know. That would just be me. I wouldn't like to. So outside of Slack, there's not a very good Discord alternative right now. There's one called Stoat, which used to be called Revolt. And I looked at it at the time when it was called Revolt and was like, okay, but it seemed like early stages. So I was like, I'll wait to check it out in more detail. And then when this happened, like they suddenly had users. So like when I tried to register, the registration verification email or whatever didn't come through for like hours, and then by the time I clicked the link, it's like it's invalid. I'm like, well, yeah, it's too late.
That's
So I'm
funny.
like, whatever, I'll keep waiting on Stoat, I guess. But aside from that, nothing. I would say watch out for new applications that you've never heard of before, like ones that are fresh, because I've already seen people are vibe coding up a storm
Oh
with
no.
half-baked, highly insecure products. So don't just download something for no, with no knowledge of what it is. But what I've seen as the most fully formed alternative is this protocol called Matrix. It's kind of like, if you know anything about Mastodon, how Mastodon functions, where basically anyone can kind of spin up a server. And then those servers can potentially cross connect with each other, interface with each other. Mastodon calls it federation. I think Matrix does as well. So that you can have kind of a wider user base, even though there are people on different servers. It's very similar to that. The problem being that I don't think Mastodon is widely popular because it's so techie. And I think the same problem exists with Matrix. It's a little too convoluted for just your everyday Discord person to understand or care enough to do it all. Because it's again, just like Mastodon, you have to find a server that you want to register with. Then you do that, and then you need to get your own client for accessing the like chat room interface, and there's a lot of those available. And then learning how to access or find other servers, it's just like a lot of steps where I feel like most people probably won't do it. Between Mastodon and Bluesky, everyone went with Bluesky because it was easier. If Mastodon were easy, people would have moved there because I feel like that has been around and totally functional. But at the end of the day, no, people wanted ease of use, and so they chose Bluesky. Although some people still have Twitter, but whatever. For the people that left, they went for the easier option majority-wise. And there's obviously a community on Mastodon, just I don't think it has the level of interest as other things. And the same, I think, will be true of Matrix, because I don't foresee it becoming easier anytime soon. So something else is going to have to come to gather some of the Discord people away. Or maybe everyone will just keep using Discord because it's easy and it doesn't matter. And if you don't access adult content anyway, then you don't really get impacted. So I don't know, but I for myself would like to figure out something else just so you and I can talk to each other outside of Discord, because often I already have problems with Discord anyway, where sometimes our personal little server doesn't even show up. And I don't know why that is, but just for us at least, something separate. Apparently Matrix can even like in some way hook into accessing Discord. I don't even know any idea how that works right now, but you know, you could kind of get the best of both worlds potentially. But at this point, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know, Matrix is very confusing.
Yeah, well, if you think it's confusing, then yes, everyone will think it's confusing. Most people.
Yeah, particularly to self-host it seems pretty challenging. But I don't know.
We shall see. And you also were fiddling with your Bookor KO reader thing and getting it set up. What was it? You wanted to set it up on your Kobo and you couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, I don't
And
remember how far we got in that discussion in the last episode. Either way, it is working on the Kobo. The documentation was not giving me a step that was necessary. So that was really dumb.
You should tell them to add this stuff in
Yeah,
the
they know too because
Kobo.
I've seen them talk about it. Like, oh, yeah, the documentation is not good. Here's the information. I'm like, why didn't you just update the
Oh,
documentation?
that's horrible.
And then my next problem was I couldn't figure out how to get it to sync to Hardcover, which is a book tracking site when I had finished reading a book. I fixed that. The problem was I didn't have the appropriate metadata that would like connect my book that I'm reading to the database entry on Hardcover or whatever. So it couldn't tell what the book was until I did that, but now it works. So now I don't have to go to Hardcover and manually log my books anymore. So I'm like, awesome. You know, one, just more efficiency in my book tracking. Because if I didn't have that efficiency, then I wouldn't be tracking it. And, you know, maybe that's fine. But I like information. I like stats and stuff about my random things that I do. So it's nice to have it.
Good. I'm glad you figured it out. That's funny
Yes.
that it was just a documentation issue. Of course. Well, that's it for our digital sovereignty corner
For now.
for now. As for me, I have some big life news, I guess.
Yeah.
I finally can share my most recent translation. I actually did this last year, but I've been waiting for them to announce it so I could talk about it. This is announced by Abrams. Publisher has a new-ish imprint called Kana. They do manga and Japan-related books. And they just announced all of their fall 2026 titles, which includes the title I translated. It's called How to Draw a Chibi: Masterclass Tips and Tricks to Improve Cute Manga or Cute Anime Manga Keychain and Sticker Art. I'll just say I wasn't really in charge of that title. It's a wild title. I think I get all that SEO in there, you know. But I had a lot of fun translating this. It's by an artist called Yume Nouchi on social media and things. I think her full name is Chiharu Yume Nouchi. But she goes by Yume Nouchi, and she has really good chibi art. And you might be familiar with her because she does a lot of anime collab art. So, like, whenever you have a new series is going to have an anime cafe with special collaboration art. She often does that artwork and then does a lot of other like keychain art and things for all different franchises. So it's really cool to see her methods. And she talks a lot about, you know, the process of becoming a chibi artist, being a freelance artist, you know, how she gets work, how she manages her work, the process of getting hired for a job and from start to finish. But then also like discusses very specifically how to draw the characters, you know, like here's how to make a existing character into a chibi, which I feel like I'm not sure, you know, how this works in all art, you know, for people who do chibis, because sometimes, you know, maybe I just want to draw a character that's a chibi, and in my head I'm like, okay, I'm just going to draw this cute little character. And I don't think of them first as a full-size character, if that makes sense. But when companies come to them and they're like, okay, we have, you know, X video game. Here's, I don't know why this is the example that came to mind, but Tekken. Here's our, you know, we've got what's his name? I don't know, Kazuma, right? And, you know, we need you to make a chibi version of him. So they have the existing character design, and it's Yume Nouchi's job to, like, chibify it, basically. So, you know, you have to take, distill the existing character down to the elements that work as a chibi. So her talking about that is very fascinating. And then just talking about, you know, how to draw them in a way that looks appealing and things like that. Anyway, as someone who likes art and drawing myself, I wouldn't say I'm a big chibi artist or anything, but even just reading about how to do it was fun. So I had a lot of fun translating it. And it's coming out in November, I believe November 17th. So just in time for the holidays. And very excited for everyone to read it. I think it's a lot of fun. So, yeah. And with that, we shall move into some news. I know we already talked about Discord news, but we've got some gaming stuff, including a couple of streams. First, there was the Nintendo Partner Direct. Now, this is like not Nintendo self-published titles, you know, in-house stuff, but all of the indies and different publishers that are going to be publishing games on the Switch and Switch 2. So they had a whole bunch of stuff. Anything caught your eye in particular in that?
Well, I thought it was funny when we saw the footage for Tokyo Scramble. At first, we were really excited because it was like the character's name is Anne with an E. And then there were dinosaurs. That was awesome. It doesn't look like the most engaging game, perhaps. But I don't know. I don't know. It could be cool.
Well, you want to play it?
I don't know. Depends on what it costs.
Anne and dinosaurs. I don't know. When it... The name Tokyo Scramble came up, it made me think of Tokyo Jungle, and then I got kind of like disappointed. I'm like, it's not Tokyo Jungle. I don't know why you're thinking about that. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's like I enjoyed it because it kind of felt a little jank and a little B grade, you know, like these, like a funky little Japanese thing that you don't really see that much anymore. I'm like, what is this? Why is it in this Partner Direct? It looks kind of wonky, but I wish that it wasn't just evasion. It seems like you're not actually like killing the
maybe you're killing them.
Why is it? Yeah, we did see one get like crushed by a crane or something in that trailer. I don't know why the first thing I go to is I want to kill the dinosaurs, but I just feel like it wouldn't be very fun to play, you know, thinking about all these dinosaurs running around, but then you gotta like evade and hide and then puzzle out how to, you know, immobilize them in order to get around as Anne. I don't know if it would be fun, but it was very interesting. I was surprised to see it there. Another thing I was surprised to see was a new Paranorma site. That's exciting. Something about mermaids. But I think it's cool, too, that it's going to be focused on, like, pearl divers. That's a, you know, a whole thing. I think it's Ama Pearl Divers, but there's like a region, and usually they're all women, but the character is a man that does the pearl diving and then sees like an evil version of himself, and then there's a mermaid's curse. And I just like the vibes of Paranorma Site. I've only played a little bit of the first one, but that's coming out very soon. I think this month, later this month. And I'm excited that they're doing more of that because, you know, again, it's kind of like a weird little thing that you don't normally expect to see, but still cool. Another thing we didn't expect to see.
Yeah, Coldicept.
Yeah. All two Coldicept fans are living.
Yeah. It's called Coldicept Begins. And I'm looking at, they have a steelbook edition.
Oh, okay.
I don't care at all about a steelbook, but it looks like it has cards too.
Oh, cool.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love Coldicept, so.
Yeah, good.
I want it.
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't matter what it is, I just want it.
And wasn't that like only in the little like sizzle reel at the end? They didn't even give it a full segment. So
no.
Sad. Oh, well.
So I'm excited for that.
So for folks who don't know, Coldicept is like a card game, right? Like
yeah.
Fighting cards.
I love fighting card games.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool. It's cool. I'm glad that there's more. I mean, every so often one comes out. Was the last one the 3DS
I
one?
I think it was.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which is a while ago now.
At this point, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, finally, you were excited for the console archives.
Yes, Hamster's Console Archives.
Is that the name?
Well, you know, Hamster's the company.
Oh, Hamster. I didn't realize that was their name.
Yeah, Hamster. So they've already been doing the arcade archives, and they started doing that a while ago, but now they're doing console archives.
Oh.
And so I think they showed a handful of games already, but it's going to be including a couple of like PS1 games. So I think that's cool,
mm-hmm.
Especially because it's like, if they're going to be on Switch 2, I just, something about playing like a PS1 game on a Switch really tickles me. I don't know why. I just think it's very funny.
It is. It's very fun.
Yeah. And it's not just PS1. It's obviously all kinds of consoles, but it's nice that they're doing it.
Yes. Play Cool Borders on your, well, right now. You could be playing it right now.
Oh, it's out now.
Yeah. Mm. Out now, Doraemon. The Doraemon was in the video, wasn't it? That's fun. Rhapsody. Yeah, a whole range of things. UFO A Day in the Life. Mm-hmm. Monster Rancher. I don't think I know Monster Rancher Hop About, but very cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Yeah. So there was a lot of like weird stuff in that direct, which is cool. I like weird.
Keep yeah, a little up. Weird.
A little weird. Okay. Then there was also stuff less weird, like Pragmata. Isn't that Capcom one? That honestly really doesn't look exciting to me. I'm like, not that whole video. I was just like, not feeling it. But that's okay. I don't have to feel it.
You don't have to.
Something we do feel is the Goemon announcement, which I guess happened separately, right?
I think it was in the Japanese
direct. We didn't watch the Japanese direct. Yeah. But this is going to be a 40th anniversary release that comes with 13 different titles in the series. I really don't think I've played any of Goemon games, but you said you liked them.
From what I've seen and the little I've played, yes.
Yeah, so unfortunately, it's only been announced for Japan so far, but I probably will say Japan only, because there haven't been many of these.
None, I don't know that many of these. Like, I don't know that really any of these, except for maybe one or two, have been released in English.
Like the N64 one.
There's yeah, and that's not like, even in here.
Yeah, so this collection, we got Famicom, Super Famicom, and Game Boy Color. So, yeah, but it's a cool collection. Always love a collection.
Like that Bomberman one they announced too.
Yes, they announced a Bomberman one in the Nintendo stream. And, you know, so we're recording this on Thursday, and they also had two streams today. We have only watched one of them, so we're not even really going to touch on the state of play stuff. But honestly, I don't know that there's a lot in that, but we're talking about collections, and they announced a Metal Gear collection in that stream.
A collection of what?
Well, let me pull it up, sir.
There's been multiple Metal Gear collections.
There's some games in it, and they are. And they are.
Should expect that there's games.
Where are they? We'll never know.
I don't know, baby. I didn't hear that. You didn't tell me, so I don't have information. Oh,
Metal Gear Solid Master Collection 2.
Okay.
You've filled the silence for me.
Let's see. So there was a Metal Gear Solid Collection, kind of on, if you bought Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence, it came with Metal Gear 1 and 2 from MSX, but yeah, there was a collection on PS3.
Yeah.
Okay. What's this? Master Collection Volume 2.
Includes 4 and Peace Walker.
It's two games. What a collection.
Well, that was a nothing burger. So, wait, what's Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker?
Peace Walker was portable.
Oh. And it's not Acid. That's what I think of when I think of portable.
No, I mean, Acid was also portable. Peace Walker was also... Ooh, was it on PSP or...
Wait, this is extra confusing because I'm looking at the PlayStation blog right now and it says includes 4, Peace Walker, and the series' first handheld title, Ghost Babel, will be selectable within the bonus content section of the collection. That's such a confusing way to put it. So in the like header image, they show you two titles, but as a bonus, you can get Ghost Babel.
Is that like a mobile phone game? Like why? I don't know. Don't think that was on...
Very confusing. Here you go. Here's a lovely screenshot. Looks like Game Boy
color. Oh, Game Boy. Oh, I was thinking like something else. Okay. Yeah. Okay, fine. So and it's 3 games.
There's 3 games. And if you have Collection 1, you get a save data bonus. Which you just said isn't Collection 1 came out for like PS4.
Well, no. Not the quote master collection. Oh, must be much newer. The PS3 one, I don't remember. It was just called like the HD collection or something.
Oh, so confusing. Did Metal Gear collection have the same issue that they had with the Silent Hill collection where it was like
a lot of problems? I really don't remember. I only remember people hating on the Silent Hill HD collection.
I see. Well, yes. Yeah, so I blindsided you with State of Play news. I skimmed the news from it, but I didn't really see a lot otherwise. I guess there's a new Castlevania or something. Anyway, let's talk more about things we don't know about.
Okay.
We did watch the Silent Hill Townfall transmission, and Townfall did have a trailer in the State of Play just before it, but then they played it again in this transmission. We were already in seated at 4 p.m. to watch this right when we finished work for the day. But I don't know that we have a lot to say about it. It's a game being made.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-orders available now for PS5 and PC.
Yep.
It will come out this year. And I like that it's going to have a black protagonist and that it will be taking place in Scotland. That seems cool. They showed a lot about the setting. I feel like they're trying to make this location like a thing, like Silent Hill F's location is like now a, you know, travel destination for fans. They're like, okay, we gotta bring some tourism to this Scottish town and really focus on, look at how there's so much fog here, you know.
Yeah, but
I like that kind of environmental stuff, so I kind of like seeing that and how they're really interested in recreating this space. Hopefully, you know, the gameplay and the story is interesting, but we won't know until it comes out.
Yep. I hope that the first person gameplay doesn't make me motion sick.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing they revealed is first person, which, you know, Silent Hill 2 remake and F, neither were that.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting choice. Were there any other Silent Hills that were first person that you
remember? Silent Hill 4, in the room, it's in first person.
Really? That's
but
funny.
Outside of the room, it's not.
Uh-huh.
Off the top of my head, that's the only thing that comes to mind.
Okay. Interesting. Well, yeah, hopefully you can play it.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see. And then finally, big news. We've been talking about this a couple episodes now. I feel like Pillion, the movie starring Alexander Skarsgård and the guy apparently that played Dudley in the Harry Potter movies, being really hot and gay and, you know, leather daddy, motorcycle dudes. That is coming out nationwide in the U.S. on February 20th. So everyone go see it.
I mean, we haven't seen it yet. We don't even know if we like it.
I want everyone to go see it anyway.
Okay.
Go support it. Yeah, we don't know if we like it, but we will go see it. And hopefully by the time, you know, the next episode is ready to record, we will have seen it and we can share our thoughts. And next up, it's what we've been reading, watching, playing, etc. I have actually been playing something. Wow. I played and beat something. Extra yay. So I've been wanting to play games. I just, you know, can't decide what to play. I don't even know what spurred me to do this. I think I was just wasting my time on social media and you were like, hey, Anne, why don't you do something, you know, that you feel fulfilled by? And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. But then it's like, well, I can't pick what game to play and I don't want to play a really long game because then I'll never finish it. Anyway, I very quickly settled on The Cruel King and The Great Hero. I think maybe because in the back of my mind, I know that the creator's third game is coming out soonish, and I'm kind of excited for that. So I was like, you know, I never played this one. I should play it. So this is by the woman who created Liar Princess and the Blind Prince, which is notably one of my favorite games probably in the past, I don't know, 10 years or so. Like, it's definitely a standout game for me. I love the art. I love the music. I love the story. Just a great game. And, yeah, the creator works at Nipponichi Software in Japan. I actually got to meet her, and it was really cute. She's very shy, but it was really nice to meet her. And I said, I love Liar Princess, and she was really happy. And so she does, like, the general, like, world and story, I think, not like the full scenario, but she'll do like the setting, and she does all the character art and world design, and is like really cool. So I just love her art and everything. All the aesthetic is really great. So she did this one as well. Been wanting to play it, and I finally decided, okay, I'll do it. It's a bit longer than Liar Princess. It's an actual RPG this time. Liar Princess is more of like a puzzle platformer, I would say, and quite short. I feel like you could beat that in 5 or 6 hours, whereas this one I looked up and it's like kind of an average of 15 or so hours. It's about a young girl who her father was a human hero, and he was gonna defeat the evil dragon king, but he didn't defeat him. And he entrusted the Dragon King with his, you know, then newborn daughter to raise her. So the Dragon King had a bit of a soft side, and he decides to raise this daughter. And she wants to become a great hero like her father. So I think she calls the Dragon King dad and her deceased human father, which I think is kind of cute. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, she has two dads. That's very sweet, heartfelt story where she wants to become a hero and the Dragon King is trying to help her. And as you play through the story, you are playing an RPG. So there's like random battles, turn-based combat. But one really cute feature is that the Dragon King kind of follows the girl around because he's worried about her. So she actually has an ability you get in battles, which is like her special. And it's a flaming sword. And the Dragon King is kind of there watching over her. When we click this ability, he breathes fire on her sword. And she thinks that she's doing it. So it's like super cute. She's like, haha, and then defeats everything. But really, he's there in the background helping her out. So it's a very sweet story. And she's just going around trying to help people and become a great hero like her dad. And then, like, Liar Princess and Blind Prince, there is sort of a kind of dark side to the story. And just a little bit, I would say, almost kind of Tim Burton-y vibes, if you like that kind of thing. But it's a really cute world. You get a couple of different characters that you meet in the story to play like as part of your party. You only ever have one other person with you at a time, and they'll come and go. So you get some different characters, different abilities and things. So I would say it's pretty like stock standard for an RPG. It's not doing anything crazy. It's like turn-based. You have some abilities. There's a blocking mechanic and items. And I found one thing I had a hard time getting used to is that you really do use a lot of items. Once I was like, okay, I'm just going to buy a shit ton of potions, then I was okay. But up to that point, I'm like thinking, like when I play Final Fantasy or a lot of like traditional JRPGs, I'm always hoarding items. And if you're an item hoarder, I think it takes a little while to get used to the fact that you just got to use items, because there's no healing magic. You never get an ability to heal, except for at one point you did get an item, I think, that like healed every turn a little bit. And that was a big help. But otherwise, I was like healing with items all the time. So once I got used to that, it wasn't too bad. But it was, you know, I wouldn't say the battles were the highlight, but I got into this rhythm where I was playing a little bit every day, and it was just like a fun thing to do. And I beat it, and it never got too hard, so I was happy about that. Had a sweet story, and it wrapped up in a nice amount of time, so it didn't overstay its welcome, which was good. And I enjoyed it. Now I got to figure out what to play next.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Yep. But yeah, I like a short game. I guess I'm old. That means I'm old. I like short games now.
It's nice. It's short and contained.
Yeah. It did drag on a little bit at the end, like the final dungeon. Games always have to do that, which I wish they didn't, but I understand why. But I don't need some big epic dungeon at the end, you know, just let me finish the game off comfortably. Mm-hmm. It was getting a little frustrating, but at least it never got that bad. And the battles were chill enough that they were the kind of thing that I would kind of grind and do a dungeon while we were watching something. So it wasn't too bad. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of watching something.
Yep.
We're just going to touch on a couple of, I'd say, the highlights from the past 2 weeks. Firstly, we are interested in watching some more found footage films. I think this was spurred because we were browsing Tubi, our love Tubi, and they had a whole found footage section.
Yes.
And that was really cool. So you were adding all of these found footage films to your watch list. And we landed on Spree. So what's Spree?
Yeah, so Spree is a 2020 film that stars someone who was in Stranger Things, but I don't know his name. He's one of the characters.
He's like the, yes, if you watch Stranger Things, I also don't remember his name, but he's like the slightly older guy who's like the heartthrob that works at the ice cream parlor. And he's cute.
There you go.
There you go. Anyway, yes, I was like, this man looks familiar. It's because he's in Stranger Things.
But yeah, the movie is basically about this guy who, you know, does basically YouTube content and wants to become like a famous content creator. And he's been doing it for many years to like an audience of nobody. And so I guess one day he realizes a way to get an audience is to kill people, basically.
on his
stream. So that's what he decides to do. And your viewpoint, basically, for the majority of the film is, like, the cameras that are in his car. Because he is also a driver for an app called Spree, which is kind of like a Lyft or Uber. And so he has his car outfitted with all these cameras. And that's also where he gets his, you know, victims, is by the pickups on this app. So the majority of the film is seen through his cameras, although you sometimes see other things as well, like social media feeds might pop up and stuff like that. It's kind of like, I would say it's like a black comedy, more than like straight horror. It's definitely not. There's a lot of humor and satire going on as well, social media satire and stuff. But I thought it was a fun movie overall. I did enjoy it. It definitely gave a good L.A. vibe in regards to how shitty people can be, especially, I feel, in L.A. Anyway, but it was a fun film. I'm glad we got to see it. It's been on my watch list for a while. I just, like, never got around to it because I'm like, this is going to be so stupid. That's, like, what I felt. I was like, this is going to be so stupid. But it was fun, so I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah, I didn't think it was, like, overly stupid. It did a good job of portraying, like, what I thought to be a dumb person who wants to get big on social media. And, you know, it had this, like, almost, like, too close to reality. I'm cringing because I know that this is a real thing or that this is something people would say kind of scenes. And, like, it was fun. I thought it was funny. There were some aspects that were a little too over the top. Like, one point, he should have died, really, but he didn't, you know? And I guess it was all for the bit. But in the end, it was still fun. So it didn't really matter that much.
Yeah.
Just a fun, silly movie.
Yeah, don't think about it too hard.
Yeah. And then we watched a movie that is in the Vinegar Syndrome backlog. It's called Hollywood Horror House. It's like an early 70s, they call it a proto slasher, right?
Yes. I think it also has a different name too. And I'm
Oh, yeah,
trying to
one of
remember, but I don't
those
remember.
multiple name films. There are a lot of
Oh,
them.
Savage Intruder
Well, that's
is another name
okay.
for it.
Okay.
And yes, it was released in 1970.
Okay. I like Hollywood Horror House Battle.
I think it's better.
Savage Intruder like doesn't give you any vibe, but yes, like the better name, it takes place in Hollywood or around Hollywood, and it's featuring a older woman who is like a former Hollywood star in her big penthouse
Her mansion, really.
mansion. I guess penthouse is really an apartment, isn't it? Excuse me. Her giant mansion in, I don't know, Beverly Hills or something, like, famous area where all the rich actors and actresses live. And there is a serial killer on the loose and he's killing older women. And then just as we hear about this man like comes upon her house and basically gets himself a job there. I don't really know how. I guess they were hiring for a job, but he seems kind of like, just someone that's bumming around and then stumbles upon him and somehow manages to get the job. But the other help in the house, there are two women, both older women. One's like the housekeeper who does like cooking and things. And then the other, maybe more like financial advisor and that kind of stuff. And then, of course, the actress woman. And he is working there and kind of trying to seduce the actress, and then the two other women don't really like him because he's kind of a skeeze. Actually, there's a third woman,
Yeah, there's
excuse
a
me.
younger
There's a
woman
younger
too.
woman, but she kind of leaves after a while. Very odd, but interesting movie. I think odd because the guy is so obviously the killer and so obviously awful. Like, you can't really understand how anyone would think this is like an okay person to hire or be around, but yet there he is being horrible to everyone. I guess you could say, well, the old woman is really lonely and they all just have to listen to her because she's in charge, so maybe that's it. But it was an interesting plot. I liked, the featuring of these older women. Unfortunately, it was a bit of a bummer because, well, he kills everyone in the end. But yeah, what did you think?
I thought it was fun. I like movies about like actors and actresses, quote, past their prime type of movies. So, the famous one would be like Sunset Boulevard, but this is also similar, I feel, in a way. It's just interesting to see like what basically he all gets away with.
Smashes a lot.
And also interesting that even though he's like a maniacal killer or whatever, that in it seems like he's willing to like stop because he can just like be wealthy.
Yeah, that was a weird plot point. Like, he would have been fine just mooching off the woman if there was never any problem. Yeah,
He
that's what he.
wasn't going to kill her necessarily, it seemed.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was kind of odd. Like, oh, I can stop killing now because I don't know. I decided I like being rich more.
Yeah,
I
maybe.
don't
Maybe
know.
that was it.
I
Yeah.
don't know. I don't
Yeah.
know. It's weird.
Yeah, it was funny. I like the young guy seducing this older woman.
Yeah, I like that
That
too.
was fun. And she's just happy to have attention, so it kind of was like a mutual beneficial arrangement there until I don't remember what the problem was, but I think he hooked up with a younger girl, right? And then that was revealed to the older woman, and then she realized that he was probably just using her for her money, and she didn't like that. And then yeah, so.
Yeah, I saw a spoiler, but something that's really funny to me about the movie is that when the old woman is dead, I guess he puts like a big life-size statue of her around. So like the help believes that she's still alive because they're not allowed to go up to that part of the house, but they can look out the window and see her there and they're like, "Oh, okay.
He's
She's
fine,
fine." It's just this big dummy.
Yeah, because she had big mannequins basically of herself from her
Yes.
different, films, right? Wearing the different outfits. So he just basically repurposed one of those.
Yes, it is
It's
very
pretty,
funny to me.
it's pretty dumb.
And an inventive use of an egg timer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What a silly movie. But so proto slasher, so it was kind of a slasher before there were slashers
Well,
as a
before that term
genre.
was coined, I guess.
There were a lot of deaths in it comparatively. And then finally, you read a couple books. Any books you want to share?
Yes. So first I did read Game Changer. I think I maybe mentioned that I was thinking about reading it last episode. I did read it. This is the first book in the series that led to the Netflix show Heated Rivalry. Notably, the show is based on the second book, not the first book that I read. But it seems like it's all in the same universe and same general thing. Like, I think that at least one of the characters from the show and the second book is in the first book. You just don't focus on him, you focus on this other couple. So what I'll say about the book is it's about these two characters. One is a famous hockey player and one is like barista or whatever, and they meet and they are immediately drawn to each other, and so then they start a relationship. And the drama of the plot of the story is that the famous hockey player is not out publicly, so they can't go and do normal couple things because, then people would find out and it would be all over the internet and then his life would be ruined, he believes. So it's like about that and the struggle and the problems that it causes to their relationship because they can't just, go out and do things and like a normal couple would be doing. I don't know. I thought it was fine. It was fine. I think it's really weird compared to other romance books I've read in the sense that it's like you could kind of divide the book into two halves. It's like the first half is like a tremendous amount of sex and a little bit of plot. And then the second half of the book is like all plot and more sex. And that's fine, but I think maybe there could have been a better mix throughout, so it didn't feel like two books, basically. So I don't know, but it was fine. I probably will read the second book just to see like what is it specifically about the second book that is so much better than this one, as to why they decided that was the one that they had to adapt, and not any of the others. So I'll see. Also, there's not a lot of hockey. There's not a lot of hockey in this book. I thought that there would be a lot more. It's like you hear mention of there are games and they win or whatever, but it's not like tactical or discussion about, oh my God, the excitement and the drama, really. So I was like, okay. It's just there a little.
Just set dressing.
Basically. Which is good because I don't know anything about hockey. But maybe I was like, maybe I'll learn something. But I
And you
didn't learn
didn't.
anything. I learned nothing. And then I read another book, which is the book that you got me, which is called Hi Honey, I'm Homo, by Matt Baum. And that book is like, it's just a, kind of like a series of essays about different television shows from, like around the 60s to 90s, and tying them into like their representations of queer characters and things and early depictions of that or things of that nature. it covers shows like Bewitched and The Golden Girls and Randomly Dinosaurs. But it's fun, especially as someone who likes a lot of the shows that were mentioned. It was really funny, this part in the book where he was quoting a scene from The Golden Girls, and I'm like playing it in my head and chuckling to myself, like, that was such a, like, yes, that was such a good moment.
Wow, there you go.
I'm thinking about it again. Anyway, so yeah, it's a fun book for people who love like TV shows and I guess queer studies or whatever. It's pretty cool. And even if you don't know the shows, like there were a couple shows that I've never really watched in depth in there. But it was described well enough. I'm like, I understand what's going on. I understand what you're saying. And I'm interested to hear about this, and things that I wasn't aware of at the time. So I liked it. I would recommend it to people who like slightly old TV shows, I guess. Pop culture. It's very interesting. It's also cool because I think he's also like very knowledgeable about like gay marriage in America, because before this he also wrote a book about gay marriage in America. I think was like involved politically in things in the past. Maybe he still is, but so he ties a lot of like in this history, here's the history and here's what was happening in this TV show, and like here's what was happening in America at the time and how it related potentially to each other, or how things that were happening in America affected how things were represented in the show, or how the show was reflecting the current time. So it's cool to see all that and hear, not just, isn't it cool that, the Golden Girls had a lesbian episode? It's like, well, yes, but also this was happening at this time. Or wasn't it exciting when, Ellen did her coming out episode, but also at the time this was happening. And, it's just interesting to see how it all correlates. So I thought it was a very good book. And if you like those topics but don't want to read, Matt Baum has like a YouTube channel that covers all of this and more. So you could always look at that. But yeah, it was a very good book. I'm glad I got it. Thank you for getting it for me.
You're welcome. I'm glad you liked it. I want to know what they have to say about dinosaurs in there.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, great. And your reading journey, your reading challenge continues in 2026 or second month. You gotta keep at it.
Yep, I'm trying.
And maybe I'll find another game to play before the next episode of the
You will,
podcast.
you can.
Oh, thank you. Okay, well, thank you all so much for listening. We've come to the end of yet another episode of Pixel Pixel, and we shall see you again in 2 weeks.